Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. Text 33. Please repeat. Yay. To Atmarama Guru Bi Hridi Chintita Angri Dvandvam. Charantam Umaya Tapasa Abhitaptam Katante Ugra Parusham Niratam Smashane Te Nunam Utim Avidan Tava Hatalaja. Ye Twat Marama Guru Birhidi Chintitangri. Dvanvam Charantam Umaya Tapasabitaptam. Katanta Ugra Parushan Nirantam Smashane. Tenunam Utim Avidam Stavahata Laja. Ye Twat Marama Guru Birhidi Chintitangri. Dvandvam Charantam Umaya Tapasabitaptam. Katanta Ugra Parusham Niratam Smash. Shane. Te nunam utim avidams tavahata laja.
Thank you.
Marama Guru Virichanti Tangri. Vancharanta Mumayata Pasab Tatam. Huntapur Parasham Smashane. Nunamutim Avidam Savahatavaja. Ladies, Ta ugra parusham nimitam shamani. Inu namutim avidam stavahata vajya. Yea, persons who, to indeed, Atmarama Gurubi, by those who are self-satisfied and who are considered to be spiritual masters of the world, Hridi, within the heart, Chintita Angri Dvandvam, thinking of your two lotus feet, Charantam, moving, Umaya, with your consort Uma, Tapasa Abhitaptam, highly advanced through practice of austerity and penance. Katante, criticize your acts. Ugra Parusham, not a gentle person. Niratam, always. Shmashane, in the crematorium. Te, such persons. Nunam, indeed. Utim, such activities. Avidan, not knowing. Tava, your activities. Hatalajai, shameless. Translation. Exalted, self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnava nam yata shambhu. It is therefore said, Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigye na bujaya. Even the most intelligent persons cannot understand what a Vaishnava, like Lord Shiva, is doing or how he is acting. Those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva, whose position is always transcendental. In the activities associated with lusty desires, Lord Shiva is an implement of Atmarama. Ordinary persons, therefore, should not try to understand Lord Shiva and his activities. One who tries to criticize the activities of Lord Shiva is shameless. Translation again. Exalted, self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. So this verse is one of a series spoken by the demigods when, by the arrangement of the Supreme, they and the demons were engaged in churning the ocean. And somehow, in the course of that churning, a very deadly poison was produced, which was spreading throughout the universe and which threatened to destroy the universe. Of course, such a description may sound like some mythological tale, but we take such descriptions as actual fact because we understand that the universe is governed. Any organization must have a head. Otherwise, there can be no order. Just like here we have a temple. So there must be a head. In this case, Sovas Prabhu. Because without a head, all the different parts of the body will run amok. And we find that everywhere. any organization from a family to a nation has personal superintendence and supervision. So the universe is no exception to the rule. The supreme ruler is God, whom we call Vishnu or Krishna. But he has different department heads under him who control different parts of the universal management. And one of these powerful servants of Krishna is Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva appears in such a way that he can be very easily misunderstood. I mean, any Vaishnav can be misunderstood, but Lord Shiva has certain characteristics which are actually expressions of his merciful nature, but which are very easy to misunderstand. And one of them is mentioned here in this verse, that, well, I'll read it. I don't want to say it, but I'll read it. When persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Now, there is a very interesting episode described in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that discusses this very point in quite some detail. Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of great sages and saintly persons and residents of higher planets with his consort Uma or Parvati on his lap with his arm around her. You could say embracing her, but with his arm around her. And King Chitraketu, who had a personal audience with the Supreme Lord and had been blessed directly by the Supreme Lord, was astonished to see this scene. He was flying in a celestial airplane, and seeing Lord Shiva in that situation, he laughed very loudly, and he spoke in such a way that Lord Shiva and Parvati and the entire assembly could hear him. And in essence, he said how wonderful it is that Lord Shiva, who is the master of all vows and austerity, is sitting in an open assembly with his wife on his lap, embracing her. Even ordinary people don't embrace their wives in public. They go to some, they do it in a private place. So how is it that Lord Shiva, who is the master of all religious principles, is doing this in the presence of great sages and saintly persons. Now, King Chitraketu himself was a Vaishnava. He had had a personal audience with the Supreme Lord. So how could he speak in such a way about Lord Shiva? So Srila Prabhupada, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, says that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that the Lord wanted to bring Chitraketu back to him, back to the abode of the Lord, sooner. Because Chitraketu, he could have gone on enjoying for millions of years, because he had a benediction that he could live, you know, without being disturbed by disease or old age. And he also says, well, I guess I should go along with the story and then give more of the explanation. So when Lord Shiva heard the words of King Chitraketu, he simply remained silent and smiled. And all the other members of the assembly also followed Lord Shiva and remained silent and smiled. So here Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Shiva was not offended, because King Chitraketu actually appreciated his position, that he was, I forget the Sanskrit term, but basically the master of all vows and austerities, which means that he never falls down. So he knew that Lord Shiva was not fallen. He was appreciating his exalted position. But he was astonished that he would do this in public, because it would set a bad example. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati shrestas, that whatever the leaders do, the others follow. So he was concerned that this would set a bad example. And beyond that, he was concerned that other people who didn't know Lord Shiva's exalted position would criticize him. And he didn't want them to become offenders by criticizing Lord Shiva. And he didn't want Lord Shiva to be the object of such criticism. So Lord Shiva understood Chitraketu's purpose, and therefore he didn't take offense. When Lord Shiva was insulted by Daksha, that story is in the fourth canto, he did take offense, because Daksha was considered Lord Shiva to be insignificant, but Chitraketu did not consider him to be insignificant. He considered him to be exalted. But he just could not appreciate his behavior in public. So, and if it's the rule that if the Supreme Lord or a Vaishnava is blasphemed, there are different options, but one is one should block one's ears and leave the place. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if Chitraketu had actually been offensive, even if Lord Shiva didn't take offense, the other sages and saintly persons, they would have blocked their ears and run away. Now, Parvati did take offense, and she became very angry, and ultimately she cursed Chitraketu. And, you know, she accused him that Lord Brahma and Narada and all the leaders of the universe, they haven't seen need to correct Lord Shiva. So who are you that you think you're more than them? That you have to be the one to correct Lord Shiva? You have become proud. You think that you're greater in controlling your senses than Lord Shiva is, and therefore you have dared to correct him. And there is actually some truth to what Mother Parvati said. Because, I mean, this is very subtle and it's very instructive for us who live in a community of devotees who associate frequently with devotees, because there can be such intricacies in our dealings with each other. I'll tell another story. It's not exactly on the same subject, but just on how different parties can be right at the same time, and maybe at the same time wrong in part. This was at the Ardha Kumbh Mela at Prayag in 1971. And two devotees, Madhuvisa Prabhu and Yamuna Devi Dasi, were having a discussion. And Madhuvisa Prabhu, who we are blessed to have in this community, he said that there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram. It's just that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. Otherwise, there's no difference. And there is a statement to that effect in the scripture, that they're identical except for their bodily complexion. And Yamuna Devi said, no, there is a difference because only Krishna is the enjoyer of Srimati Radharani. So they were having some discussion or argument. And Tamal Krishna Goswami presented it to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, you know, Madhuvisa Prabhu says there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, he's right. And then he said, but Yamuna Devi says, no, actually there is another difference because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, she's right. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but Srila Prabhupada, they're both saying different things. They both can't be right. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you are right. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, well, then, who is right? And Srila Prabhupada said, you decide. So sometimes it happens like that, that we can't really say that someone is right or someone is wrong, but we can appreciate the rightness in them and also appreciate the differences. So, Mother Parvati, you know, she criticized Chitraketu for his impudence, and then she addressed him as her son and cursed him to immediately fall down and take birth as a demon. Now, when Chitraketu heard the curse, he accepted it. And he said that actually, you are my mother. Everything that you have said about me is true. And I accept your curse gladly on my head. And he gave a wonderful philosophical discourse about how the material world is full of duality and there's always pleasure and pain and happiness and distress and we can't escape it under any circumstances, and therefore there's no use to even try to increase our happiness or reduce our distress because they're all ordained by Providence. And when Mother Parvati heard that discourse, and Lord Shiva and all the members of the assembly, they were struck with wonder that what an exalted vision and explanation. So then Lord Shiva spoke, and he addressed Parvati, O beautiful one. And he said, just see the greatness of Vaishnavas. He was referring to Chitraketu. That although you are very beautiful, the beauty of their pure devotion exceeds even your beauty. And they are not disturbed in any condition. Because in any condition, they can take shelter of the Supreme Lord and be satisfied on the Lord's shelter. And then he said, Narayana parasarve nakutischana bibhyate svarga pavarga narakeshu apitu yartha darshana. Those who have taken full shelter of the Supreme Lord. And in the previous verse, Lord Shiva has used the word the servant of the servants of the Lord, those who are the servants of the Lord. How wonderful they are. They are equipoised in every situation. And they don't care whether they are in heaven or hell or liberated. They see apituyartha darshana. Their vision is that they see every situation equally. There's no such thing as good or bad. But wherever they are, they take shelter of the Lord and are happy and satisfied in devotional service and Krishna consciousness. Now, it's described that after Parvati heard Chitraketu's discourse and how humbly he accepted her curse, and then that she became peaceful. And again, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says she became peaceful because she realized that actually he was not being offensive to Lord Shiva. And then she felt ashamed of herself for having misunderstood him and cursed him. And she covered her face with the skirt of her sari, like she felt ashamed. So Lord Shiva glorified Chitraketu, and that phrase, servant of the servants, indicates that that qualification is not unique to Lord Shiva, but it's unique to all of the servants of the servants of the Lord. And therefore, we should be very careful not to blaspheme or offend Vaishnavas. That's the basic conclusion. Yesterday we discussed the chanting of the holy name and the 10 offenses. And the first is sadhu ninda, to blaspheme devotees. But we didn't have time to discuss in detail. But because we live in the midst of devotees, it's important for us to understand this point, because otherwise we could commit offenses and thus obstruct our spiritual progress and our devotional service. But the basic idea is that a devotee does not want to find fault with anyone. The basic principle for a devotee is chinadapi suniche na tararapi sahishnuna amanina manide na kirtaniya sadahari. One should feel oneself more humble than the grass, and one should be more tolerant than a tree. One should be ready to offer all respects to others and not want any respect for oneself. And in such a state, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So that's our goal. We want to be able to chant the holy name or spread the holy name constantly, without any interruption or disruption. And we can do it in that humble mood. So devotees are not inclined, to blaspheme others, to curse others, to retaliate against others, but they humbly tolerate and continue with their devotional service. But sometimes it happens that a preacher has to point out who is a devotee and who is not a devotee, because it's very important for devotees, newcomers, neophytes, it's very important for them to associate with devotees and to avoid the association of non-devotees, especially those who are envious of Krishna and devotional service. So only for the sake of instructing people who might be misled by mistakenly considering someone to be a devotee who's not a devotee, and vice versa, might consider someone to not be a devotee who actually is a devotee, the preacher or the teacher may criticize, not gratuitously, because he just likes to criticize, but for the sake of making things clear so that innocent people are not misled. And in this discussion of Sadhu Ninda, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if a preacher has to do that, he has to point out who's a devotee and who's not a devotee. If someone thinks that that preacher is committing an offense by blaspheming, then the devotee should avoid the association of that person who thinks that the preacher is blaspheming or committing an offense when actually he's not. There's one incident that strikes me as relevant here, which involves Srila Prabhupada and Dr. C.P. Patel. Dr. Patel would come every morning to Juhu to accompany Srila Prabhupada on his morning walk on Juhu Beach. And they would have many discussions. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada would accuse Dr. Patel of being a Mayavadi. And Dr. Patel would say, "No, sir, I'm not a Mayavadi. I'm a Vaishnava." So they had a unique relationship. I mean, every relationship is unique, but theirs was especially unique, if there is such a thing. And so one morning, Dr. Patel started to praise a famous religious figure of India. And Srila Prabhupada responded by criticizing that famous religious figure. And Dr. Patel became upset. And Srila Prabhupada said, "You know, I am not saying, Krishna is saying, in the Bhagavad Gita, namam duskritna muta prapadyante naradama maya aparita jnana asurim bhavamashrita. Anyone who does not surrender to Krishna is a fool, a rascal, a demon." This is what the Bhagavad Gita says. So I'm not saying, Krishna's saying. I'm just repeating what Krishna's saying. Because that famous so-called spiritual a leader definitely had not surrendered to Krishna. He was sort of a devotee of Devi. And so anyway, so Dr. Patel became enraged, and he started to like shout at Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada shouted back. And Dr. Patel was like a leader. He had like his cronies, and he was the leader. And they were quite impressed by him, and they would never like instruct him or anything. But in this case, they tried to restrain him. And they said, "Swamiji has a heart condition. Don't upset him." And they were literally trying to pull him away. And it's like, and it was like escalating. Dr. Patel was shouting at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was shouting at Dr. Patel, and they were trying to pull him away. It struck me like in a boxing match, like the bell rings and the round is over, but they keep, you know, jabbing each other, and then their people, or the referee, you know, tries to separate them. And but finally they succeeded, and then Prabhupada went back to... Yes, I was there. Then Srila Prabhupada went back to his room, and Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, "Why do you put up with Dr. Patel? You know, and what is his position? I mean, is he a devotee? I mean, is he a Vaishnav? Is he a Mayavadi? What is he? So Srila Prabhupada said that Dr. Patel was very expert at speaking in different ways, and therefore it was very difficult to ascertain what his actual position was. And he told a story of a man who was very expert in speaking different languages. Whatever language someone would speak to him in, he would respond perfectly in the same language. So all the townspeople were like wondering, where is he actually from? What is his native tongue? And so then one man said, I'll find out. So that person, once when he wasn't looking, the man who said he'd find out, he went up behind him and gave him a very strong slap. And then that man, who could speak so many languages expertly, began to curse in his own language. And then it came out. So Srila Prabhupada said Dr. Patel was like that, but when we really hit him where it hurt, his real feelings came out. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, well, if that's the case, why do you tolerate him? Why do you entertain him? And Srila Prabhupada replied, we have to engage everyone. So that just shows Srila Prabhupada's magnanimous heart. So then, for the first time in probably, well, at least 3 years. I mean, 3 years, Dr. Patel never missed a morning walk. And for the first time, he didn't come. And Prabhupada said, okay, now, no more discussion. We'll just read the Krishna book on the morning walk. So, the way Dr. Patel describes it, that I don't know if it was the next morning or a couple of mornings after that, Srila Prabhupada was walking on Jew Beach one direction, maybe near the ocean, and Dr. Patel was walking the other direction, further from the ocean. And something in Dr. Patel's, he wasn't planning to even look at Srila Prabhupada, you know, what to speak of, approach him, but he said something in his heart just forced him, just pulled him to Srila Prabhupada. And he came to Srila Prabhupada and he bowed at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry, but I've been taught from my childhood to respect all the accredited saints of India. And Srila Prabhupada replied, yes. And I have been taught to say who is a saint and who is not a saint. So there's an example where Dr. Patel thought that Srila Prabhupada was being offensive, but he wasn't. You know, he was just telling the truth, not by his own estimation or speculation, but on the basis of Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. But in the end, Dr. Patel accepted it. He was coming, resumed the morning walks. And after Srila Prabhupada left, he wrote a very beautiful article of his remembrances of Srila Prabhupada, which was published in Back to Godhead. And the heading or subtitle was something like, Bombay Doctor is Called Fool by Srila Prabhupada and Loves It. So, yeah, that was Srila Prabhupada's magnanimity and expertise. So in our dealings with each other, in general, we should see the good, and there is good. Every devotee is good in principle, and avoid criticizing. If we're in a position of authority, we may have to correct someone as part of our duty. Even Srila Prabhupada said the one thing he didn't like about being a spiritual master is that he had to correct his disciples. And they're all Vaishnavas. But still, Prabhupada did it. And if we're in a position of authority, then we may have to do it too. But it should be with love and care and sympathy. And as Srila Prabhupada said, that if criticism is offered with sympathy, it's more likely to be accepted. But yeah, sometimes, I mean, I was definitely corrected by Srila Prabhupada on a number of occasions, and once it was like so heavy. That one was by mail, and it was so heavy I wrote back like, you know, I know what you said is true and it's for my benefit, but I'm really struggling to maintain my enthusiasm, something like that, way back as a newer devotee. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back that the Chanakya Pandit says that a father or guru should chastise his sons or disciples, otherwise they'll become bad. And he said, "Yeah, my only desire is that you and all of my disciples should make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So if you find some criticism, you know, kindly take it in that spirit and don't take it otherwise." So this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana, implies that we should be ready to take instruction. Not like, hey, look, it says Trinadapi Sunichena. You're not being humble, Prabhu. You got to learn to be humble, you know. Trinadapi Sunichena means I'm humble. And if some Prabhu is giving me good instruction, I should welcome it. Like King Chitraketu, he accepted Mother Parvati's instruction. But, you know, there's always going to be some little differences, little or big. There's always going to be some differences. But among devotees, we shouldn't, like, if we feel we're the victim, we shouldn't take it seriously. But if we feel that we might have offended someone, we could take that seriously and somehow try to adjust things. And we have our morning program, our Vaishnav offering respects and obeisances to Vaishnavas. One disciple said to Srila Prabhupada that if I had to offer obeisances and ask forgiveness to every devotee I offend through the day, I'd probably be offering obeisances all day long. And Srila Prabhupada said, therefore we've included this offering obeisances to the Vaishnavas as part of the morning program, that all at a time, once a day, you know, with heart, not just like as a formality, but with heart, you feel, okay, you are all my Vaishnava, you are all Vaishnavas, you're my Prabhu, my masters, please forgive me for my offenses and allow me to continue to try to serve you. And that sort of wipes the slate clean. Of course, we shouldn't take advantage of it. Sort of happy family mood of servants of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. Chant and dance in ecstasy as we experience this morning, and then go out and spread this message, spread this knowledge, spread this happiness to others by preaching, distributing books, and whatever means we can devise. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All right, so we will let you go and take prasad and continue with your service. And look forward to the next meeting. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Just have to go to the just tell them I'll be back in a minute. I just have to go to the men's room. Is that okay? I'll just rush to the men's room and I'll come right back. Okay.